Blog Talk Radio.
Big B, Moonshine Man, Suburban Rebecca. Let's go!
I'm an outlaw, give me two shots. We don't need a radio, bring a jukebox. For my outlaws, bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw.
Welcome everybody to another Deaf Conversations with John Dilley on Green Ideas Radio Network, and good evening, Sir John.
Oh, greetings, fine sir.
Welcome everybody to another show about hot sauce, the hot sauce world, and of course the king of all things hot, Mr. John Dilley. John, it's all yours. Go shake up the airwaves.
Well, thank you very much, sir. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, welcome to the latest episode of Deaf Conversations. I am your host, John Dilley of Deaf Con Sauces. A lot of you know me from trade shows and just there's the really weird dude, but hey, that's just me. I got to really get a really big plug here. This seems the show is getting a tad popular. A number of people have asked how to get on the show. And just for a shout-out, anybody who's looking to get on here and talk about the company or anything like that, just shoot me an email. It's John, J-O-H-N, at defconsauces.com. I mean, the show really is picking up steam. And so I'd say get on board early for a good seat. I mean, nothing like free advertising. But enough of that. I'm just going to do a quick recap like we always do. Last weekend, we actually attended for the first time ever the Allendale Farmers Market in Allendale, New Jersey. And I'll tell you what, it was a rousing success. I mean, of course, the great weather helped, but we had a lot of DEF CON customers from the old Oakland market that we used to do in Oakland, New Jersey, that actually made the trek to track me down because they ran out of stuff. It was a really good show. A lot of people turned out for it. So we're going to be doing it again in about 2 weeks. Coming up, though, this coming weekend will be the Metuchen Farmers Market in Metuchen, New Jersey. See, on Saturday, June 14th from 9 to 2 p.m. It's located on Pearl Street, right off of Route 27. They've grown to over 25 vendors. I mean, when I first started out there, they had about a dozen. Well, they've doubled in size. So it's a really kind of a popular market, and got some really really interesting new vendors this time around. Unlike a lot of the farmers markets you go to, and ones we've done over the years, Metuchen has a sprinkling of the non-food vendors, so your food choices are pretty good. So hey, if you can come down and see us this Saturday down in Metuchen, New Jersey, for the Metuchen Farmers Market. Anyway, let's get into this whole thing. We're gonna do a quick topic here, kind of a lead in for the upcoming guest, who's gonna be a really really fun one. It's basically the quick topic of the day is using dried peppers versus using fresh peppers in a product. There's a lot of people on either side of this fence, I'll tell you what. And I mean, DEF CON, we've always used dried peppers in all of our products. You know, I feel they lend kind of a better taste to our types of products than the fresh stuff. Everyone's products are different. Some like using fresh, some don't. That's just the way we do things around here. I'll probably catch hell from a few of the pepper purists out there for saying this, but hey, just deal with it. I don't know. Dried peppers to me are a lot easier to use. You know, one big plus of the dried peppers, if you're thinking about making a sauce, is that shelf stability is much longer. Dried peppers won't rot as long as you kind of put them in a vacuum bag. You know, when you're working with fresh peppers, you're working against the clock. You know, they're going to go bad. It's just you can freeze them whatever you want to do, but they're not going to last as long as the dried stuff is. You also get a lot less of a watery product. I mean, our sauces and we call habanero horseradishes and stuff, the wing sauces are thick. It's almost like a barbecue sauce. And with the dried peppers, you don't have to use all those thickeners like xanthan or guar gum. These are actually natural gums that a lot of people use in their products. But for the most part, the public thinks they're chemicals. You have to kind of pull each one of them out of the crowd and say, no, xanthan and guar gum are like sap from a tree or bark from a tree. It's real stuff. You really got to convince one at a time, so it becomes kind of a pain in the butt. Dried peppers, you know, from one farm is better than hoping that the peppers on a shelf at a local supermarket are from one source, because usually at big supermarkets, they're not. They're all these different farms kind of jumble all together. with multiple growers in one batch, you lose your consistency. I mean, each farm you have has different soil content, you know, altitude, climate, and so your peppers aren't going to be the same peppers if a whole bunch of wholesalers are dumping them into a big pile and, you know, doling them out to the different supermarkets. If you can, stick to one farm. There's a guy out there, Jim Duffy, refining fire chilies. I love this guy, and give him a big shout out. We've been using his stuff as of late, and it's really good stuff. He does dried, and I think he's getting into some mashes and stuff like that, but his dried stuff is fantastic. We go to eat, you probably notice a change in the taste too. If you're using, you know, supermarket peppers, like one batch will not taste the same as the next. You know, that's one of the quickest ways to lose your customers. I mean, they're buying your product for a specific reason. Do not change the recipe or formula. You made it for a reason, and people like it for a reason. Stick with one form. You'll do a lot better. But anyway, enough of that. Let's bring our guest. It's kind of a neat one. A little bit different. Her name is Kelly Brignan from Mild Bills out of Ennis, Texas. Purveyors of fine dried pepper powders, custom chili mixes, rubs, and other spicy delights. Kelly, you out there?
I'm here. How are y'all doing?
Welcome to the show, darling.
Thank you. I'm excited.
As you should be. This is going to be a lot of fun. Now, before I get started, I was talking to Kelly yesterday, the day before, and found out that she actually met us at the Zest Fest in Texas a few years ago, and you're actually a DEF CON customer.
Yes, that is correct. And I have customers who also buy DEF CON sauces.
Well, that show just went up my spine. But let's delve a little bit into your world. I heard about you guys from Mad Mike Freeman. I imagine you know him from the ICS guy. How did you go about meeting Mad Mike? Because he's the one who told me to contact you.
Through the website, and he became a customer, and we hit it off, and I hooked him up with Fabulous Spices, and he was hooked. And we've been friends ever since, and he's a fantastic customer. He's a fantastic ambassador for Mild Bills, and that's how we met. And this year he finally convinced me to come to Connecticut for the New England Regional, and I did, and it was a wild time, and it was a blast. So
that's cool.
Much love for Mad Mike.
Did you hear about the NARCC chili cook-off? Mike posted it up yesterday. I couldn't believe it. The show they did in Summers, Connecticut, I think it was the beginning of May, they raised $16,000 for charity. I think half of it went to the Summers Fire Department, half of it went to the Patriot Guard. I mean, 16 grand, that's a lot. That's a lot of cash. Man, I'm proud of that guy. You got to love Mike, what he does for the whole chili community, and not just the chili community, for his community in general. He's just a sweetheart of a guy. But I do have a question for you. When and how did you guys start up the Mild Bills thing? I knew it was a company before you guys got it, but what got you into this whole idea of spice stuff?
Competition chili. I started cooking Cassie chili back in 2002 probably. And I cooked until my daughter was born. And then got back in it around 2005. And at the time, you bought your spices from, you know, various spice companies, including Mild Bills. And that's how I met Bill and Tamara Dees, the previous owners. And in 2010, they put the business up for sale. I said I wanted it. And by God, I got it, and here
there
we are
today.
There
you go. Oh, that's awesome. I mean, hey, you want something, you go get it. It's not going to come to you.
Yes, but I, you know, through cooking chili, that's how I got into this and realized that I love to do this. I have a knack for it. I enjoy it. I love to help people. I love to help chili cooks, whether they're starting out or they're established cooks and need some help. And I just try to constantly educate myself so that I can give the best advice and the best product to my customers.
Oh, I love it. I mean, you guys sound like a walking commercial. I love it. Oh, you're awesome. With you, it's not just you and the hubby. I mean, when we talked on the phone real quick, it seems like your entire family are a bunch of cooks.
Yes. Yeah, it takes a village to run Mild Bills.
Oh, too funny. But no, obviously, I mean, you know, the years we call it. As I ask to all of you guests, what got all of you into doing the chili thing? Did you and the hubby kind of plant the seed in the children, or how'd that work?
Our daughters, our son doesn't cook. He's really not into it. He only does it when we force him to. He's gotten third place the only time he's cooked. He likes to go for the party and, you know, just the general camaraderie. Our daughters both cook chili. Zoe, she is 14. She is the 5-time back-to-back North Texas Junior Chili Champion, and then our youngest, Paige, who is 10, she's the 2013 North Texas Junior Chili Champion and 2012 TOT Junior Champion. So it's a family affair. It's something we can do and enjoy and have a good time and travel together when we want to.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it seems like they got a pretty good running start on this. I mean, of course, they've got some really good teachers. I mean, that's to be left unsaid. But, I mean, the idea that the kids are getting in so young, do you see a future with them staying with it? I mean, do they really like doing it, or do they just do it because mom and dad want them to?
Zoe, absolutely. She can't wait until she's 18 and she can cook and, you know, cook in the adult divisions.
Sure.
She loves to cook. She's extremely competitive. Paige can take it or leave it. Once she wins a cook-off, she's like, I've won that one. I'll go do something else, you know.
Oh, you got to love it. Now I understand your husband, Gary, is pretty well known in some of the local chili competitions in Texas. Which ones? We talked about it earlier briefly. I was very, very like, wow, that's pretty cool. I mean, he's done some remarkable things in the chili industry as well.
He is the 2013 Texas Men's State Champion. He's also placed at that cook-off every time but once that he's cooked at Texas Men's State. So that's quite a coup to be able to say that a state championship is your honey hole. He has won various cook-offs. He does a great job. He doesn't mix his spices. He has no idea what he cooks. I mix his spices for him, and he does what I tell him to do and, you know, comes home a winner. So I can't complain.
Well, I'll tell you, most men do better by doing what their wife says because it makes for a much happier life. It really does. I mean, they can make your life a living hell if they want to. They're really really good at it. a little sadistical. Don't get me started. But I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, the whole family is really, really headstrong into this. I love it. But, I mean, now, you do spice blending. A lot of people out there, they may have like, you mix salt and pepper together. It's a little bit more to it than that. I mean, explain, some guy comes to you and wants you to make him the XYZ spice of that he kind of came up with himself. He's really proud of it. I mean, how do you go about finding out what the guy used and what kind of ingredients to use to make his stuff?
I go by taste and smell. I have a pretty refined palate, and I do it the old school way. If you give me a sample, you don't necessarily have to give me the ingredients. That always helps. But I can normally taste a blend and pick out the ingredients that are in there and get it, if not identical, pretty close to what they were cooking. And that's something that I offer to anyone and everyone. I don't have a minimum. You know, if you just need 4 ounces of something that you're cooking that you keep at home, I can do that for you. So that's how I do it. You know, of course, ingredients help, but if you don't have the ingredients and you just want someone to match an old blend that you've been getting and can't find anymore, I'm someone that you can come to, and I'll be able to take care of you.
Wow, that's really cool. I mean, the no limit thing is that's incredible. I mean, you go to some of these bigger spice blending operations, and you're looking at a minimum of like 500 to 1,000 pound minimum. And I mean, for somebody to go say, hey, if you want 4 ounces of the stuff, I'll make it for you. That sets you apart from a lot of the big boys. You do know that.
Yes, and that's kind of the crux of my operation is I want to be as personable and helpful to all of my customers, whether they're ordering 2 and 4 ounce quantities or they're ordering, you know, 50 and 100 pounds of blends from me. Whether or not, you know, you're a big customer or a small customer, I'm going to make sure that you're taken care of and you know that I'm going to give you the best product that you can get out there.
Well, see, that brings it back to the whole Deaf Conversations thing all about small business. You're not going to get that from the big guy. You're going to get like, okay, what do you want me to make you? Okay, 5 pounds of this to 3 pounds of that to 4 pounds of that, or here you go. Well, it doesn't taste right. Well, you gave me the recipe, dude. I mean, that's how I've dealt with larger spice blenders in the past years or whatever, and that's kind of how they are. It's like, what, you want me to make something for you? I'm going to have to charge you for that. You know, and they're really kind of bullheaded about it. I was kind of taken aback. I tried a couple of the spice blenders around here. Well, you know, tri-state area around Jersey, everybody's got an attitude. But, I mean, it's just, you know, the guys just came off as, like, just douches. I was not a very happy boy. And then when Mad Mike Cook hooked me up with you guys, I was like, oh, this is cool. I mean, this is small business at its best, where there's attention to detail and there's attention to each customer personally. It's not just, you're a number, get in line. You know, I love that whole way of doing that. Now,
that is something I do try to emphasize, just kind of sticking with that. I am the anti-Amazon. Nothing is prepackaged.
Awesome.
Nothing is sitting on a shelf waiting to be thrown in a box and sent to you. Every bit of our inventory is kept in a walk-in cooler, and it's humidity controlled, and the spices are not packaged until they're ordered, and then they're shipped Priority or UPS, and you have them, you should have them within, you know, 3 days. I can't always rely on UPS and the post office. But, you know, and that, I think that makes a difference. And for competitive chili cooks or barbecue cooks or anyone who is using a product to put in a product that they're making, you know, for others, you know, freshness and high quality is the key. And I just, I refuse to buckle under and prepackage my products and just leave them hanging out until someone orders them.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I mean, that there's a lot to be said for that, too. I mean, like I said before, I mean, the dried spices, dried peppers and stuff, they do last longer than the fresh. But, I mean, what would you say an average shelf life of just, I mean, granted, okay, if you vacuum and keep it in a kind of like cold, dark room or whatever, but what is the average lifespan of just a, let's just say, an orange habanero, like a really, really fine powder, like a confectioner, or something, like a 10X or something like that? What would be the shelf life of something like that?
As long as you keep it in a cool, dark place, and I prefer the refrigerator, you're going to get 4 to 5 months out of it.
Nice. Okay.
And because there are no preservatives, it is a vegetable. It is a live, you know, it's alive. It's been dried.
Yeah. Or at least it was.
That sounded crazy, God. But anyway, you know, it doesn't have preservatives. So you want to keep it, you want to baby it, and you want to keep it in the fridge, and you're going to get the most out of it with very little breakdown in the quality.
Right. I mean, when you're buying like those big bottles, like Tone, I call them Tones bottles, those big, like, you know, the 16-ounce things from like a Restaurant Depot and stuff, you have no idea how old that stuff is. I mean, there's an expiration date, but they put it out like 8 years from now, it'll finally go bad, and you don't know what you're getting. But I mean, just to have something of quality, that's really good to know. I mean, for everybody out there listening, I mean, keep the peppers in the fridge, man. They'll last you a hell of a lot longer. That's really cool. Now, I was kind of amazed when you told me. I was kind of familiar with, I don't know how many people out there, their Terlinga cook-off, which is very well known to a very set group of people.
Uh-huh.
Now, it's an odd show. It's basically in the middle of nowhere. Am I correct? I mean, it's like
you're as close to Mexico as you can get and still be in Texas. You're out in the Big Bend area. The cook-off, there's two cook-offs held out there. There's the Cassie cook-off, which is Chili Appreciation Society International, and then there's the original Frank Tolbert behind the store chili cook-off that's held closer to the Terlingua ghost town. They're both fabulous cook-offs, fantastic people, but you're dry camping in the desert for up to a week.
You pray for no wind.
Exactly. Oh, and the dust storms come in. So, I mean, when you go down there, you need to make sure you've got enough water, enough beer, and you've got enough money to pay the port-a-johns when they come by and will, you know, clean out your tank. Because it can get ugly after a few days, yeah. But it's a blast.
Well, you actually said beer second over behind water. Come on, give me some air.
I am going to shower when I'm out there. It's filthy.
Oh, my God, you're too much.
And you can buy beer when you're down there. You can buy beer down there. Water is a totally different thing.
Oh, you're cracking me up. Now the thing that I brought up to Lingo was you actually supply some of these spice blends for some of these pro cooks out there, right?
Absolutely.
And that is something to be said. I mean, if anybody wants to look it up, Terlinga is Terlingua. And look it up, man. It's something. Did they do the chuck wagons out there, too, or is it just regular cook-offs?
I think it's just the cook-offs. I don't think they do the chuck wagon cook-offs. I think it's just chili.
Okay, cool,
They do have some random barbecue cook-offs out there.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, just the fact that you actually supply some of these supplies to these pro cooks in that very well-known cook-off is just phenomenal. That goes a long way with if people are wondering, does this lady really know what she's doing? Well, quite obviously, yeah. Let's see.
Since 2007, the Terlingua champions have all used Mild Bill spices. In 2010, Tom Dozier won with my recipe. He cooks it better than I do, and he won the Big Pepper that year, and I couldn't be more proud of that.
Wow, that's Dozier's big. That's a big name. Even I know that one, and I'm just a hot sauce guy.
Oh my!
Oh man! Now I do have a question for you here. We're going to switch to something a little different. Now last week, Our lovely host, Brilliant Ideas, became a customer of last week's guest, Adam Fair from Endorphin Farms, who we co-pack with. That was actually a really good show. Well, the DEFCON crew, I had kind of told you on the phone, the DEFCON crew, we are actually looking to bring you guys on board as our spice blenders. We have a pretty good market. The two dry spices we have are really growing in popularity. I mean, they're really going good, and they're pretty much simple, but we're not allowed to make them here. You're not allowed to make anything in your house in New Jersey. You know, the FDI, you know, the Matrix people show up at your door and basically take your house away from under your feet. So we're looking to get you guys on board, and you had already said yes to that. So I'm going to be placing an order very soon, and which is very cool.
I'm excited. Yeah. Nothing makes me happier than blending spices, and I love a challenge, and I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, good, because, I mean, you can give me some really good ideas on how to expand the dry spices as well, because, I mean, we've only got two, the smoky dust and the contaminated soil, and we're really looking to break those out because, I mean, they are shelf-stable for a lot longer than the sauces are out of the fridge and, like, in the sun or whatever, and you just put them on your tabletop next to the salt and pepper. You know, that's the kind of what we're looking to do. We're going to be looking to make probably about four or five more blends in addition to the ones we already have. So it's now I finally got someone on board who actually knows what the hell they're doing.
That's great. That is great.
Oh, yeah. No, it's happy. Very, very happy. now, you're putting – so in essence, you're kind of like the Adam Fair guy we had from Dorfman Farms. You are a co-packer of sorts. I mean, is that what you consider yourself, or do you just consider yourself just somebody who loves what they're doing and just wants to make people happy?
I love what I do, and I love to make people happy, and I think that shows. And being a small business owner and being kind of a – for all intents and purposes, a small operation, a one-woman operation, I can make decisions based on what works for my customer and what works for me. So if I can offer co-packing, well, why wouldn't I do it? So I have a lot of freedom and a lot of leeway because I don't have to go through a chain of command and the bureaucracy, and I don't have to ask someone, in another country if it's okay if I do this. If I want to do it,
you're the wife. The wife rules the roost. You know this.
Yeah, but it has expanded more into custom blending for other customers who cook barbecue and sell their rubs or someone like you making the sauces. I have started supplying more of those customers than I did when I first took over Mild Builds.
Sure, well that's called growth, and growth is always a good thing. I mean, it's a lot of people out there listening. Yeah, I hope people contact you guys and just find out, hey, these guys sound really cool. Let me contact them, see what they can do for me, kind of thing. And that's what the show's about. And we've got people lined up for the next few weeks and stuff like that. They're going to be doing the same thing. And that's what the show's about, man. So it's all about the small business. And I'm loving what you guys are doing. I really am. Now, besides the website, I mean, where can people find you? I mean, do you do shows or farmers markets, local shows, anything like that, or?
We are open on Saturdays during the Ennis Farmers Market, which I believe it goes from April through October. We have a storefront, so the store is open on Saturdays from about, 9, 10, whenever I decide to get here, until about, 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm not a morning person, so till about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We haven't done a lot of trade shows just because they are kind of expensive. There aren't a lot nearby, so we're looking more into the local shows where it's a little bit more smaller.
Sure.
And it has a focus on small businesses, the cottage industry more or less, and that's where we're looking to expand into, 2014, 2015.
Well,
we have a store
idea
in downtown Ennis. We are infamously open when we're here, closed when we're not. But if I know you're coming, I'm going to open up the door.
Nice. Now, local festivals are great. I mean, you got in Texas, you obviously got beer festivals and stuff like that. Those are the ones we're starting to kind of latch onto. They're really, those are really money makers, and they don't really cost a lot. I mean, as long as you're not sitting there grilling meats and stuff like that, that's when the health department really kind of juices you out of your wallet. But if you're just selling blends and stuff like that, you can really make a pretty dime at these little street fairs and, beer festivals and all that kind of stuff. You can really make a pretty penny.
Yes, we take advantage of Bluebonnet Festival in the last weekend in April and Polka Festival, which is always Memorial Day weekend. We take advantage of both of those opportunities. We open up the doors, and we stay open all weekend and have a great time. You get tons of walking traffic, and whether or not we make a sale, we're handing out business cards, and
right.
you know, people are either coming back or they're calling or they're placing an order on the website.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've built just out of our, you know, last 4 or 5 years of doing these farmers market stuff, I've actually built up a following. I only do it on the weekends because I got a regular 9-to-5 job. But, yeah, I mean, I find that people are really you're losing that whole, you know, big conglomerate market thing. People are starting to go back to basics, and I'm seeing a definite trend where people are – they'd rather deal with the person in charge of the company than somebody's secretary. You know, it's really kind of a cool trend that's going on right now.
Yes. And I like it because, you know, like I said earlier, I am the anti-Amazon. This is not a drone operation at all.
Oh, man, you are too funny. But, yeah, so people can check you out on the website. They can check out the local markets. Now, you're on Facebook as well?
We are. Our Facebook page is Mild Bill's Spices. Just, you know, search for us and we'll come up and like our page. And you can communicate with me through the Facebook page. You can communicate with me through the website. You can call the store. You know, I do my best to make myself available and return calls and emails as quickly as possible.
Fantastic, fantastic. Now, this sounds like you guys are heading in the right direction. I mean, you got the whole small crew of all the daughters and sons and stuff like that. They want to, well, the son maybe not, but but the daughters
just
really want
to party and drink beer.
Well, I remember being his age too, so it's. But it took me over 40 when we finally started up DEF CON. So it's like, hey, you know, I finally learned, hey, maybe I'm so shut down the party life and let's start up a business here, and it seems to be working.
It's nice to figure out what you want to be when you grow up.
Yeah, well, never grow up. All you do is get old.
Yeah.
Well, Kelly, it was great talking to you. And hey, maybe in the future we'll get you back on for a part two. What do you think?
I would love to. Thank you so much. This has been fabulous.
Oh, Nate, not a problem at all. And we will be in touch. We'll be placing an order with good old Mild Bill. So now you know where our dry rub is going to be coming from. Well, Kelly, it's great having you on the show. I'm just going to close with a couple of things here. Hey, people, tune in next week. We're going to have a whole new guest on. I already know his name, and I'll tell you who it is on Facebook, or I'm going to blast it over Blizzard Blast. Check them out, mildbills.com. Kelly and Gary. Of course, Kelly Wolfaroo, she is the female. But again, we'll be at the McCutcheon Farmers Market this Saturday from 9 to 2 on Pearl Street off of Route 27 in downtown McCutcheon. Come on down. That's about it, folks. See you all next week for the next episode of DEF Conversations. Same bat time, same bat channel. Have a good night, folks. Put us in the grave. Pistol in my pocket, now it's straight as your dome. You're the type of kid that should have just left it alone. We stay whiskey drinking, bottle breaking, girlfriend taking. Think I really give a fuck, you must be mistaken. B.I.G. capital B, the rest is history. Outlaw, motherfucker, double whiskey. Whiskey drinking, S.O.B. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw. Give me 2 shots, we don't need a radio, bring a jukebox. For my outlaws, bring me 3 shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. For my outlaws, give me 2 shots. We don't need a radio, bring a jukebox. For my outlaws, bring me 3 shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm on the 1%. On the leather vest, and every outlaw biker that I met on the west. I'll probably never see the Opry, if I did I'd laugh. I'll probably break some long necks, then go out like cash. They bump me in the prison, Tracy and San Quentin. You can blame the fast living or the whiskey and women. Radio don't need to love me, but they need to respect it. I'm here to pick the pieces up where Bob Rock left it. I've done a few shows where the sheriff won't go, and some of those shows were with David Allen Coe. I'm at the motel sleeping, the truck stop eating, a different dive bar drinking every other weekend. Like a trucker driving 18, I only slept 2. My neck stays red and my collar stays blue. Hate 3 knows me, and Shooter does 2. If you don't like them, then I don't like you. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw. Just when you thought radio was safe, a new kind of radio is on its way. Food,
music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.